Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Have you ever heard the word hybrid before? Maybe you've heard someone talking about their hybrid car, a car that uses gas and electricity. Or maybe you've heard of someone going to a hybrid school, a place with in-person classes and online classes. Have you ever heard of animal hybrids before? This happens when a dad animal and a mom animal of different species have a baby together. A mule is a hybrid horse and donkey baby, and a liger is a hybrid lion and tiger baby. Pretty cool, right? Today, we're going to talk about another animal hybrid, a hybrid bear, in fact. We've done a couple episodes about bears on Constant Wonder Kids, including rare bears like sloth bears and sun bears. However, today's hybrid is the rarest bear of all, the Pizzly Bear.
They are extremely rare. And so the only reason we actually know about a Pizzly is one was shot in the wild. And so back in about 2006, Jim Martell, he was a hunter from Idaho, actually shot one of these polar bears on the Banks Islands in Canada. And it was through further DNA testing that they were actually able to demonstrate that this bear that was shot that looked like a polar bear in some ways, but also looked a little bit like a grizzly bear in some ways, actually was in fact a Pizzly or a growler bear. It had a polar bear mother and a grizzly bear father.
This is Larissa DeSantis. She's a paleontologist and expert on this rare hybrid bear, the Pizzly Bear. You might have noticed that she also called it a growler bear, and either works because whatever you call it, this bear is part grizzly bear and part polar bear.
So they are what you would expect if you had a polar bear mother and a grizzly bear father. They are intermediate between the two. And so coloration is intermediate. You'll often find they're not as white as the polar bear. They have a much lighter coloration than grizzly bears and are intermediate in that form. The other ways in which they're intermediate are having a skull that's not as elongated as the polar bear. One of the things that we've noticed about polar bears is they have these elongated skulls, and those skulls are really useful for hunting these seals from sea ice. Grizzlies, on the other hand, actually have shorter skulls, and they're able to have much higher bite forces.
Can you picture what Larissa is describing? This Pizzly bear has features that are in between a polar bear and a grizzly bear. It might sound almost like an imaginary creature, but Larissa says that there have been multiple Pizzly bears in real life.
There have been a few other occurrences in the wild where there have been instances of Pizzlies, or even Pizzlies have reproduced with grizzlies and produced offspring, which have been subsequently examined and documented as occurring in the wild. And also there have been occurrences of Pizzlies in captivity, and they have also been studied at particular zoos.
These Pizzly bears born in zoos are especially useful to scientists.
So there was an occurrence of Pizzly cubs, a male and female cub that were born in captivity. What they did is they immediately removed those two cubs from the polar bear mother, and they were raised at another zoo. And they actually studied these Pizzlies to understand their phenotype, what they looked like, and also their behavior. And so it was one of these rare opportunities to see, you know, is a Pizzly better at swimming than a grizzly? And the answer was yes. So a Pizzly is better able to swim than a grizzly, and it's not as good of a swimmer as a polar bear. And there were other features they were curious about and other behaviors, like how did it actually interact with different objects? Did it sort of pounce on them? When it lied down, how did it lie? And also, what did it look like as far as coloration and body form and all of those different features? And so they were actually able to better understand what these Pizzlies were in a environment in which they could get very close to these living animals and learn about their behaviors.
Learning about Pizzly bear behaviors is fascinating, but that's not how Larissa gets to know these interesting bears. As a paleontologist, she's not watching Pizzly bears in the wild or in zoos. Instead, she studies fossils and bones in museums.
I actually choose to study these animals from the safety of museum collections. I study things and try to understand and recreate sort of the behavior of animals in the past. And just recently, we wanted to understand what was happening with some more modern animals today. You know, how have the diets of polar bears changed over time? Or how can we better understand the diets of grizzly bears, for example? And in a world in which climate change is happening, we really want to know what these impacts are.
Polar bears are affected by climate change. They live in the Arctic, up near the North Pole, and spend their days walking across icebergs, eating seals. Climate change is causing these icebergs to melt, and this makes it harder for the polar bears to access the seals that they've traditionally eaten. Larissa learns a lot about what polar bears eat and why by looking at their teeth.
Some of our research has looked at what polar bear diets were doing over time. Polar bears, essentially, they're highly specialized on eating these seals from sea ice. And are they now becoming more desperate? Are they eating sort of a broader array of things? We know that there has been observations of them eating seabird eggs. Are they now eating from carcasses and having to scavenge? What are they actually doing? And so one of the ways that we can do this is we can study polar bears from the safety of museum collections and actually take molds of their teeth. So essentially do a little bit of dentistry. And from that dentistry, we can reconstruct sort of the textures of the foods that they ate. And when we do this, one of the things that we find is that polar bears eat soft things. They really prefer blubber. And in some cases, a really healthy polar bear will even leave some of the meat and the flesh behind of seals and really just concentrate on that blubber that has lots of fat so that it can also maintain a high amount of fat in its body. And so they will eat lots of very soft things. One of the things that I noticed being a paleontologist is that their teeth for this very large bear, their molars, are actually a little bit smaller than grizzly bear molars.
Grizzly bears and polar bears don't just have different teeth sizes. They also have completely different head shapes. As Larissa mentioned earlier, polar bears have longer skulls that have helped them better hunt seals in the Arctic. But it might be getting in their way when they try to eat other foods.
The polar bear is highly specialized on being able to hunt seals from sea ice. And so even though they are closely related to grizzly bears, they diverged some time ago, about 500,000 years ago. And those skulls are really useful for, again, hunting these seals from sea ice. And that is really a very specific adaptation for that behavior. The elongated shape of the skull was actually limiting the polar bear's ability to eat really hard foods. And this is exactly the opposite of what you see in a grizzly bear. Grizzly bears have a shorter skull. They're able to eat really hard things. They can eat tubers. They can eat various seeds and acorns. They eat lots of fish and are really the ultimate generalist. Everything from grass to even carcasses of hoofed animals. Grizzlies will eat pretty much everything. And they're really well suited to being able to eat all these different food sources. But the polar bears aren't.
I think that it's amazing that Larissa is able to learn so much about polar and grizzly bears just by looking at their teeth and bones. Having this extra information about these bears helps her make predictions about pizzly bears. For instance, if pizzly bears have shorter skulls and larger teeth, like grizzly bears, then maybe they would be more successful in the wild than polar bears because they're able to eat different types of food.
We're thinking about a world in which we're getting a warming environment where grizzlies may be having a few other adaptations and being a little bit more polar bear-like, maybe better swimmers, for example, or able to eat a variety of foods more like the grizzly bear than the polar bear, that you might see pizzlies doing fairly well. We normally expect hybrids to not do very well, and that's because, again, their parents are well suited for those particular environments than this sort of combination is.
Larissa's work studying grizzlies, polar bears, and pizzly bears shows us how paleontology isn't just about getting to know animals that lived a long time ago. It can help us understand what wildlife might look like in our world in the future. One big question that people might have about pizzly bears is, will they stick around? Or are they just a random natural occurrence that's happened a couple of times?
Even just the fact that we have pizzlies is sort of showing us that we have evolution in action. And so essentially what you're seeing is these two populations that became separated and had very different ecologies over time became very distinct from one another. That being said, they're able to mate, they're able to produce offspring, and even those offspring are able to mate and produce other offspring. And so what I expect to happen is that aspects of polar bear genetics, their genome, will actually become integrated into the grizzly bears as well. And so we've seen that in the past. There's been genetic studies that have showed polar bear DNA basically making it into the grizzly bear populations. And the reason why they're coming together is because of climate change. You're having one population that's moving further north, and it's sort of starting to now overlap with the range of polar bears. You have polar bears that are now actually moving further south. And so I do expect there to be increased interactions between these bears. I also do expect there's going to be increased interactions between both of these bears and humans moving forward, because there's now an overlap of them in each other's ranges, and we are now overlapping the ranges of many of these bears that we weren't doing to quite the same extent previously.
So not only does Larissa think that there will be more Pizzly bears, but she thinks that we humans will run into them more and more in the future. How crazy is that? Whether scientists are studying bones and fossils like Larissa, or actual Pizzly bear behavior like the scientists at the zoo, they are all contributing new knowledge about this interesting bear. The study of Pizzly bears teaches us how scientists are able to learn more about the natural world, even as it changes. Knowing that new species, like Pizzlies, are even possible fills me with a sense of awe and wonder, and reminds me that there is always more to discover in the natural world.
When a grizzly and a polar bear cross paths in the wild, they might create a Pizzly bear child. This hybrid species takes the best from both and shows how nature is full of growth.
A quick word here for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff that kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. Constant Wonder is on an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small, the kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we think you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.